to the Easter service of the Webster Baptist Church. I want to begin by, Oh my gosh, I forgot I made a left turn instead of a right turn, but you guys know what that means. I'm human, and we are in the grace business. So welcome to the Webster Presbyterian Church's Easter service. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's socially distant, 6 feet from one another, in this sanctuary this morning, laboring to bring this worship service to you and this celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin, as is our custom, with the ringing of the bell.
Please join me for the call to worship. We come to this place seeking Jesus in the familiar story of our faith. Do not meet us only here, O living Christ, but surprise us with resurrection power in all the places of our lives. We gather together to sing and pray the story we know by heart, a story of loving triumph and powerful grace. The story of Alleluia means great joy for the one who lives and the ones who witness this new life in all the places of our lives. We rejoice and thank you for the life of your Son, resurrected by the power of your loving, vibrant Spirit. Let the same Spirit fill all the places of our lives, that we may know the truth of resurrection for the rest of our lives. We join our hearts in song and sing Alleluia. Gracious Jesus, for Christ is living, and so are we. Alleluia, indeed. Please join us for our opening hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, We confess to you that while we know well the story of your victory over the grave, it is not a story that we always live. We are dragged down by all manner of death. Fear may suffocate us, the loss of dreams and hopes for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our nation. Sorrow may wall us off like a grave, isolating us with anger, frustration, and grief. Yet the stories of our faith are inscribed not with the marks of death, but with the word, Alleluia. So on this Easter morning, we pray that you will fill us with fear and great joy, so that, like those women who came to the tomb expecting death, we may instead find the radiant new life that is ever before us in your resurrection. Amen. Just as Christ did not come to condemn but to liberate, so too is Christ raised from death not to judge but to celebrate. Cast off the yoke of sorrow and instead raise up the scepter of joy. Christ lives. We live. All is made new on this resurrection morning. Alleluia and amen.
Go tell the news of the risen Lord. Alleluia. Lift up your voice. Go tell the news of the risen Lord. Alleluia.
I am reading Colossians 3.
Kids have, and even some adults do, why did Jesus have to die on the cross? So this morning, Kyle and Ellie are going to help with a little demonstration to talk about it. Flip her camera. Okay. So in the beginning, God created the world, and it was a good place. In this demo, we're going to talk about the world like it's this plate. And the plate starts off nice and clean. God put in some people and some animals, and everything was pretty good at the beginning. But then people started to make some pretty bad mistakes. They were lying and cheating and stealing and maybe even killing. And it made God really sad to see all these mistakes being made, and the big word for that is sin. And the sin got so bad that it pretty much covered everybody. And so in this one, we're going to talk about sin as this really ugly red stuff here. Alec, do you want to cover the world in sin for us? Yeah, exactly. So things got pretty bad, and God was really sad, and eventually he said, we have to start over. And so God talked to Noah, and he saved the animals. He saved the animals a little better than that. And then God sent the flood. And we started over. And things were good again. Noah started us up again, right? Now we fast forward to the New Testament, and people started making mistakes again. And so, there was a lot of sin in the world. So go ahead, Ellie, add us some sin again. But after the flood, God made a promise, right? We remember the rainbow. God promised that we would never do a flood again. And instead, this time, when there was all the sin in the world, God sent Jesus. And the kids in the Shine program know that we talk about Jesus as light of the world. So in this case, Kyle, do you want to add a candle to the middle of it? So God sent Jesus, I got it. Sent Jesus to talk about love. And go ahead, Kyle. And really to live with us and show us the way. Right? And as Pastor Phil talked about last week, different people had different ideas of what that should look like. You know, the parade into Jerusalem, they thought that Jesus was coming as a king, like the sort of king that people know, was going to lead armies and change the world that way. But Jesus was coming to change the world with love. And a lot of people at that time weren't really sure about that. They didn't really like that. They wanted Jesus to go away. They wanted to put out his light. So, unfortunately, they decided that they needed to kill Jesus that week. And so they were going to put out his light. Now, I put this cup over top of the candle. What do you think is going to happen? Eventually, the candle's going to go out, and that would be the end. That would be the end of the story, right? And that's what the people who killed Jesus thought they were doing, too. But after they killed Jesus, that would be the end of the story. So let's go ahead and put the cup over top the candle, and then watch all the liquid on the plate as the candle slowly goes on. Boys and girls, did you see that as the candle went out, all of the sin, all of the red liquid on the plate started to get slurped up into the candle? And that's a good way to think about why Jesus died on the cross. That he died to take our sins away. He was a sacrifice for us. And so the two big things that I want you guys to remember from this are that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and even though on that Good Friday it looked like the light had gone out and maybe the story was over, Easter reminds us, and this candle reminds us on this plate, that even if the light looks like it's gone out, the story isn't over and there's a lot more to tell. So thanks again, guys, and have a happy Easter.
I will now read from Colossians 3, 1 through 4. This is the New International Version. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is John 20, verses 1 through 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you will put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I have seen the Lord," she told them, and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Alleluia, alleluia.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God all said together, Amen. This Easter Sunday, I want to call your attention to the first words of the resurrected Christ, his first words to his disciples. Let me read again for you the 19th verse of the gospel lesson from John. And it reads, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Jesus came and stood with his disciples and said, 'Peace be with you.'" If our Easter celebration is anything, it is a celebration of the fact that God has the final word on life and death, and God's final word is life. Now, I get in trouble for what I'm about to point out, but Easter Sunday means that God vetoed the death penalty. Now, I'm not going to try to convince you of something I get in trouble for saying, but my Easter, my walk with God, means that God vetoed the death penalty. I've said on numerous occasions that Easter means we are free to love. Easter is the day when the church stands up straight and stands with the Apostle Paul in Corinth and says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory." Easter is the day when those filled with God's Spirit stand at the portals of eternity and ask, "Where, O death, is your victory?" But having said all of that, my purpose today is singular. It is to highlight the first words of the resurrected Christ when he returned to his disciples. Jesus' first words are, "Peace be with you." Consider the scene. The disciples were together behind closed and locked doors. They were scared and they were avoiding people like the plague. They were avoiding those who had it in for the followers of Jesus. They were behind closed doors, as we are behind closed doors today. Jesus arrives and stood among his disciples and says to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus has been crucified by a status quo resistant to change, put to death by staunch defenders of religious and social dogma. His disciples are now hiding behind locked doors, scared and in fear. And Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you." That's the first thing Jesus says. Now, Jesus has been crucified, but turns out, for so many of us, aspects of our lives have been crucified. Many of us live behind locked emotional and psychic doors, thinking that if we just hide, we are safe from another assault from the world, thinking maybe, just maybe, I won't have to go through that again. But you see, Jesus can walk through the doors we have locked and resurrect that which has been crucified in our lives. Jesus, crucified, dead, and buried for 3 days, has a resurrection priority. Peace be with you. Now, what might you say if you were crucified, dead, and buried for 3 days? Right now, I'd be asking, what do you mean the National Basketball Association has canceled its season? There are no live sports on television, the restaurants are closed, and I can only get takeout and can't hug my friends. This is not normal. What's up with that? But you see, Jesus sees his nervous friends and says to them, "Peace be with you." A global pandemic has traumatized us, locked behind closed doors for fear of this COVID-19 virus. We are shocked at what is happening, anxious for our well-being and the well-being of others. Healthcare professionals remind us regularly to wash our hands for 20 seconds with hot water and soap. We should do that. Yet, in the midst of our anxiety, we must take to heart the first words of the resurrected Christ, who says to you, "Peace be with you." Healthcare providers remind us to maintain a safe social distance, have a diet rich in vitamins A and D that support our immune system. Yet, in the midst of our collective trauma this Easter, the first thing Jesus has to say to us is, "Peace be with you." Jesus was an innocent man who was unjustly crucified. And now that he has been resurrected, it would not be unreasonable for Jesus to walk into a room full of his supporters and organize a march to the courthouse demanding that the prior charges be dropped. This would be a good time for Jesus to give testimony on God's power and saving grace, but instead, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Returning from the grave, Jesus could have said to his disciples, "Let's review a few things. First off, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, freedom to those who are held captive, and the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus might have gone on saying, "Before we continue with this ministry, let me remind you of a few more things. Love them that hate you. Pray for them that persecute you. And oh, by the way, blessed are the peacemakers." There's a lot that Jesus could have said to his disciples in quarantine, but he gave his number one priority message. First thing he said, "Peace be with you." Think about that for a moment. God, the creator of all things, has raised his only begotten son from the grave, sends him back into the world with this message, "Peace be with you." Jesus got out of the grave, restarted his ministry with these four words, "Peace be with you." So that's your Easter message, "Peace be with you." Let the church say, "Amen." I want to, at this point, just take a moment and remind you that you can send in, mail your offering in, or there's various electronic means being made for the offerings to come into the church. Let us at this time bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. Gracious, eternal, and everlasting God, once again we come to you to say thank you. On this Easter Sunday, we thank you more than anything for your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose from the grave. The one who came back to life, who you, dear God, brought back to life to show your power and to show your love for us. The one who took each and every one of our sins to the cross. You raised him from the dead. And we thank you this morning for the hope we now have in Jesus the Christ. We thank you, dear God, for all things are possible through you, dear Lord. But even as we come to you with this message of thanks, dear God, we come to you praying, dear Lord, praying for our world, praying for those among us who are sick and suffering, praying for those who are grieving loss. Praying, dear God, for medical personnel who are working to help and heal the land, praying for their health and safety. We pray, dear God, for those whose livelihoods have been threatened by business closures, and we pray, dear God, for families learning to live and work together in close quarters for possibly the very first time. We pray, dear Lord, for those who are not in safe homes, and we pray, God, for those struggling with loneliness and isolation, those separated from loved ones because of travel, And we pray, dear God, especially for churches at this time, seeking to discern new ways to minister to your people. We ask, dear God, that you would bless, that you would send wisdom to our leaders as they seek to respond to this crisis, and bless them, dear God, with a compassion and a love for all that you have created. Bless us, dear Lord, and remind us that you can grant us a peace that passes all understanding. And we, dear God, will be thankful. It's in Jesus' name, and for his sake we all pray together. Amen. The disciples came to Jesus, and they said to him, "Lord, in what manner should we pray?" And Jesus says to his disciples, "When you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And the people of God all said, Amen. Let us unite our voices now for this closing hymn of this Easter Sunday.
We would, just a quick message, we would like to invite everyone who is able to join us at noon today in the parking lot of the church for an Easter parade of cars. Socially distant, stay inside your vehicles. We're going to enter through the north entrance and just follow the chain around. Honk your horns, wave, however you want to celebrate Christ is up to you. After that, if you would like, we are going to continue our parade over to the Hundebrink's house, which is just around the corner and down the street, to show them our love this Easter. So feel free to join us at noon today. Thank you.
May the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, provide us with every good thing we need in order to do his will. And the blessing of the Almighty God, our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. And the people all said, Amen.